Welcome to Boggo, the official podcast for historic Boggo Road Jail, recorded live inside its walls. I'm the director, Jack Sim. In each episode, we explore the history of Australia's most notorious prison. And joining me inside the red brick walls of Boggo Road Jail once again is Research Coordinator Sue Olson. Hey, Sue.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Today's episode, Sue, I'm going to be talking about an article from the Courier Mail newspaper from January 1991 titled Prison Officer Top Call Girl, CJC Told.
Wow.
Shocking.
1991, that's a bit more recent
than what we often cover. That's right. This is just a year before the prisons officially closed, once again in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. So we're going to talk a bit about that. But 1991, Sue, there's quite a lot of interesting things going on in Australia. Just looking at some of the other articles on this same day in the Courier Mail, AIDS may affect 200 children. Concerns about the AIDS virus were very much in people's minds.
I think Freddie Mercury just died around about that time.
Today, of course, we're dealing with coronavirus. You know, in every generation, there's something that's really terrible that happens in a health sense. But the story today that we're going to talk about, a prisoner claimed that a senior prison officer was one of the highest paid call girls in Brisbane. The journalist that wrote the story was Madonna King. She goes on, and I might just read the article because it's powerfully written. A witness also told the public hearing that he believed that photographs of a convicted killer and another female prison officer, a Brisbane prison officer, were taken while the couple was scantily clad in bed. Another senior female officer took female prisoners to the Gold Coast for homosexual or paid sex sessions, the investigation was told.
It's
extraordinary. A former Brisbane Jail Emergency Squad Chief, Thomas Challis, said he believed the photographs were taken of prison officer, and I won't use the officer's name, and prisoner whose name I won't use, lying on a bed in lingerie. Another matter involving prostitution that I'm aware of involved two prison officers, husband and wife. He said that they were given permission to take the prisoner on a leave of absence to stay at their home. Quite extraordinary.
Home? Gosh. It must have been a massive scandal.
As Tom Challis said, this was a most unusual and quite controversial situation. He received information from a prison officer and another prison officer to the effect that they'd seen the photographs of this prison officer and his wife with this convicted killer in compromising positions. There was a search of the prison married officer's home at Caboolture, and that's where the photographs have been found.
I don't even know where to start with that one.
Challis, who was responsible for the riot squad, internal investigation and other security before his retrenchment late in 1989, said that a senior female officer was taking prisoners to the Gold Coast for sex. And this is a quote from what he said at the CJC. I received information from various female prison officers to the effect that female prisoners could be involved in paid sexual activity or in conjunction with the matron of the prison. The essence of this information was that the matron, not her real name, was taking female prisoners, either ex or still serving, to a unit on the Gold Coast for periods of 3 to 7 days for activities with either herself or with paying customers. Extraordinary. The CJC chairman, Sir Max Bingham, suppressed the senior officer's name after a submission from counsel assisting the CJC. The hearing into the allegations of brothel keeping, prostitution and drug running in Queensland jails will continue today. Just
wow.
So at the moment in Queensland, there's been all these, you know, as the people are calling it, the Fitzgerald Inquiry, 0.2R or whatever. I don't want to get involved in that, but every so often things come up that has to be investigated. And in 1991, something as extraordinary as a prostitution ring operating in the female prison at Boggo Road became the subject of a hearing. Just extraordinary.
The trouble that they would have gotten into had they been caught when they were caught, they're obviously caught, to go to the CJC, like...
Tom Chalice had a very difficult job as the emergency squad chief. He had to subdue riots. He had to investigate complaints that prisoners would raise about officers' behaviour. He had to investigate activities that officers were engaged in an attempt to make sure they were, you know, there was no, they were doing everything right. Very difficult job. Like he, you know, he had to put people offside sometimes to investigate things. And, you know, he had heard and seen some pretty shocking things in his day, but I'd have to think that this would have been one of the most unpleasant and shocking things that he's ever learned of.
And had to deal with. And the falling out of that, yeah.
Going back in the earlier generations of time, Sue, a former prisoner who wrote a series of books about the jail's history, in his books where he was recalling his days of being in Boggaroa in the 1960s, he talked about how some of the male prisoners of the jail were sometimes released on weekend, were given like weekend release.
Leaves
of absence and such. And that he believed that, and puts forward in his book, that some of these young men were being used for prostitution purposes. And he's quite adamant that this was going on at the jail as far back as that time period. I find it difficult to believe in many ways. The people I knew that were senior officers at the jail, they were not the sort of people in the 1960s sort of era to do things like this. I could never imagine it happening under their watch. But that being said, when this story broke in 1991, like it really did cause shockwaves. It made you wonder what the decision-making process was. Implicated the matron of the female prison as being involved in it. It's really quite extraordinary. And so you got to wonder whether, you know, this may have been happening in earlier eras. One thing is clear, it was limited in 1991. What was revealed was limited to just a very small number of individuals. And if this sort of thing did happen in earlier eras, I imagine it probably would have been the same. It wouldn't have been something that was well organised or condoned and known about and just nothing done about. Like, I think it would have been something that is very, very rare and very unusual.
I certainly haven't seen any other stories in all my time I've been researching. So this is really an extraordinary story to even publish it, but it's controversial.
Sure is. I know that the CJC investigated it, and there was action taken in regards to those involved. But ultimately, though, like, it became just in a way part of a series of revelations that took place, beginning with the Kennedy Report in 1988, which investigated the operation and running of Queensland's prisons. And this investigation through the CJC just continued to turn up, you know, errors of judgment, mistakes and criminal activity that took place throughout the state. Thankfully, these days, I think we've got a very, very clean system with very little of this sort of activity going on at any level.
Yeah.
Prison officers today are very mindful about, you know, their role and ethics and standards. But yes, intriguing, not very nice, but intriguing aspect of Boggaroa's past. Well, thanks, Sue. Great talking to you today. We'll catch up again soon behind the bars.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Escape the 21st Century. Book a tour at boggaroajail.com. For more content, join us on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to locking you up.